The Gillette Cavalcade of Sports is on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, and hello, baseball fans everywhere. This is Jimmy Dudley at the Polo Grounds in New York, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company, as the Cleveland Indians and the New York Giants get set for the opening game of the 1954 World Series. This is the 16th consecutive year that baseball's championship classic is being broadcast to your entertainment on the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports. Yes, and because so many of you sports fans are also Gillette fans, we broadcast and telecast other athletic events of national interest, including the regular Friday night boxing bout for your entertainment the year round. And now, fans, we turn you over to one of baseball's all-time greats, Frankie Frisch, the Fordham Flash. Frankie is on deck in the clubhouse right now to give you the inside dope on the series. Today, he interviews Baseball Commissioner Ford Frick, the National and American League presidents Warren Giles and Will Harrig, along with Leo DeRocha and Al Lopez. Take it away, Frankie Frisch.
Hey, Frankie Frisch. Good afternoon, fans. Well, it's a pleasure to have on our Gillette program the both managers of the two fine ball clubs, Mr. Al Lopez. Al, how are you? The Cleveland Indians and Leo DeRocha. Say, Al, I got to ask you one question. You have done a terrific job. Well, to win a, be on a championship club, you got to do a terrific job. What would you say is responsible for your club winning a pennant this year? One or two? Now, you finished, what, second back in those Yankees for 2 or 3 years?
3 years in a row, Frank.
3 years in a row. What couple of men, or 3 or 4 men, helped you?
Well, Frank, the only thing I can say is Vic Wirtz was a great help to us at first base. It gave us that little extra punch. Our bench was tremendous. It really helped us because we had fellas like Rosen, Strickland, Avila, and really top-flight ball players out of the lineup for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Then our extra pitching. Fellas like Newhouser and those two young boys, Don Morsey and Ray Nowreski, did a tremendous job for us. I think that that was responsible mostly for the success we've had this year.
Say, Leo, that Giant ball club, that first game out, is pretty good. How about your club hopping up there?
Well, Frank, they played wonderful as a team, as you well know, and I couldn't put my finger on any one man. Alvin Dark, naturally, the captain of the club, Willie Mays, were great, Matt Nelly. But I think it was more of a team effort as a unit. That did a great job, and naturally, Al sitting alongside of me here, I'm hoping we can continue right on through the series.
Well, you know, I get a pleasure out of this because both you fellas played for me, and both wonderful team men.
Let's not go back to the job, Frank.
Now, that's only one. A few years back, I mean, no question, a few great hands. Say, listen, Al, Gillette Razor. I know you'll enjoy it. In the back of that.
Thank you, Frank. That's a very nice razor.
Thank you. And Leo?
This is my favorite, too.
Well, I say, how old is that youngster of yours?
He's 12, Frank.
Look, give him one of those two. He'll be able to shave pretty soon. In the back of that, I know he's going to enjoy that World Series, the Gillette World Series record book. It's got everything in it. It's a terrific book, and every little thing in it. It's even got the Flash's name in there. Hey, thanks kindly for being with us. And lots of luck to both of you. And take care of your health. Nice to see you. This is indeed a pleasure. I'd like to introduce you, fans, the Commissioner of Baseball, Mr. Ford Frick.
Thanks, Frank. Fine, thank you.
And Mr. Warren Giles, the President of the National League.
Hi, Frank.
And Mr. Will Harrig, President of the American League.
Nice to see you, Frank.
Mr. Harrig, nice to see you, sir. And the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, James Mitchell. He's here to make a presentation on behalf of the Armed Forces Radio Services.
Mr. Frick, Mr. Giles, Mr. Harrig, as the representative of Secretary of Defense Charles E. Wilson, it's a real privilege to present these certificates of appreciation for your cooperation in making possible the broadcast of Major League games to our service men and women overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Armed Forces Radio Service has 72 local stations all over the world. They broadcast, in addition to sports events, the news, shows of various kinds, and you can imagine what it means to these young men and women who are representing America all over the world to be up to date, inning by inning, with Major League Baseball. It's a real pleasure, and I really appreciate your cooperation in making these broadcasts possible. Gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell.
I'm very glad to be
here. Thank you, Mr. Mitchell.
From the
Thank
Department of Defense.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very kindly, gentlemen. Mr. Frick, if you come over and sit down with me old Flash for a few minutes, I'd just like to have a little chat with you, sir.
Yes, sir. Right.
Well,
comment on that one.
And it's always a pleasure to sit with the Commissioner of Baseball. You've been a wonderful man. You were in the radio business, Mr. Frick, is that so?
Well, that's one of the chapters in my past. It's a dark chapter, Frank.
And also a newspaper man?
Yes.
Now, are you neutral in this series?
I'm completely neutral up to the point, yes. I hope we have a great series. I hope we don't have any umpire trouble. I hope it doesn't rain. As concerns those things, I'm not neutral.
Well, the weather is, it's a beautiful day for a ball game. Is that right?
Marvelous.
It's marvelous.
It's a beautiful
day. And I know no pitcher can complain about pitching a ball game today as being too hot.
Or too cold.
Or too cold.
Oh, indeed.
What do you think about the attendance?
I have a hunch, Frank, that if this, however long the series goes, that for the number of games it goes, we will break the attendance record.
How many? Go ahead, Mr. Cooper.
Well, you see, we have two great parks, and if it should only go four games, I think we would break the attendance record for four games, or five or six, depending on how many we go.
The seating capacity at the Polygon is 55,000, isn't it?
Frank, I really don't know. It's right around that yet.
And
of course,
Cleveland?
You take out in rural series, you take out quite a few seats to take care of radio and newspaper men and telegraphers and that sort of thing. We take out probably 600 or 800 seats.
And there was one question I wanted to ask you, Mr. Commissioner. How about the boy that's going to throw out the first ball today?
It's going to be little Jimmy Berendisi, I think his name is, and I'm awful proud to have him. He's the center fielder and the captain of the Little League team that won the World Championship.
Oh, that's fine. I hope his arm's in good shape so he reaches out to that mound and does a good job.
He's not big, Frank, but he's still young. You know, they can hit that ball when they're young.
How old is he?
Well, he can't be more than 12.
Oh.
But Little League ends at 12, you see.
That's right. And I was up to a Little League session the other day. Those kids do a terrific job. They're really wonderful. Now, you have no favorite in this series.
No, sir.
Commissioner, thanks kindly for being with us.
Thank you.
And fans, it's time to wind up our clubhouse interviews this afternoon, and we got to switch you now to the broadcast booth. Commissioner, thanks kindly.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
And now, fans, this is Jimmy Dudley speaking to you again from the Neutral Radio booth, and today we're all set to bring you the first game of the 1954 World Series. Manager Al Lopez has met with Captain Alvin Doss of the Giants and the umpires at home plate, and here are the lineups for today's ball game. The first game in the 1954 World Series, the 51st World Series, the 14th for the Giants and the 3rd for the Indians. For the Cleveland Indians, the visiting club, leading off, in left field, number 32, Al Smith. At second base, Bobby Avila, batting champion of the American League this year. In center field, the Indian spectacular outfielder, Larry Doby. At third base and batting in the cleanup spot, Al Rosen. At first base, Vic Wirtz. In right field, Dave Philly. At shortstop, George Strickland. Catching for the Indians, Jim Hegan. And pitching the first game for the Tribe, the 1954 World Series, is the Indians ace right-hander, number 21, Bob Lemon. During the regular season, he won 23 and lost only 7. Appearing in 36 ball games, he held 21 complete games and wound up with an earned run average of 2.69, one of the best in baseball. The lineup for the New York Giants. At first base, leading off is Whitey Lockman. At shortstop, Captain Alvin Doss. In right field, Don Mueller. In center field, Willie Mays, the Giants' spectacular outfielder. At third base, Hank Thompson. In left field, Monty Irvin. At second base, Bobby Williams. Catching for the Giants, Wes Westrum. And pitching the first game for the Giants, Sal Magley. Winner of 14, losing only 6 during the regular season. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. Here are the umpires for this afternoon's game. Working back of the plate, from the National League, Violet. At first base, from the American League, Berry. At second base, from the National League, Conlon. And at third base, from the American League, Stevens. The two alternate umpires who will be working the foul line in the first game of the 54 World Series, on the left field foul line will be one of the game's great pitchers of years gone by, Lon Wanacki. And on the right field foul line, from the American League, Larry Knapp. And the stage is all set for what promises to be one of the most thrilling World Series in the history of the game. This, as we said a moment ago, is the 51st World Series. Bob Lemon versus Sal Magley. Here at today's ball game is a youngster who is getting perhaps one of the greatest thrills of all time in his life, young life. Jimmy Barberi of Schenectady, the captain of the Schenectady Little Leaguers, world champions in Little League play, threw out the first baseball and will throw it out again as we get ready to go. Now the Giants take the playing field, and that means that action is coming up. Right now, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
And this is WGN, your exclusive World Series station in Chicago.
And now, fans, with action about ready to get underway, the coaches are taking to the coaches' box on first and third. At first for the Indians will be Red Press. At third base, number 44, Tony Cuccinello. And may I take just a second of your time to say that it gives me a great thrill to be working my first World Series game. A great deal of pleasure to sit up here in the Mutual Radio broadcast booth. And now with Sal Magley taking those last few warm-up pitches, it's with a great deal of joy and pride that I turn you over now to Mutual's man of sport, the voice that has become familiar to millions of fans everywhere. Big in heart, big in sport, and big in voice. Al Helfer.
Well, thank you very much, Jim Dudley. Good afternoon, everybody. And hi, fans all around the country and all around the world this afternoon. We're very happy, too, to have Jim Dudley up here for his first World Series. And we're happy, too, to be here on the Eastern Seaboard this afternoon to have such beautiful weather. The kind of weather you'd expect for this fall classic. Sal Magley has been warming up for the past about half hour, and is he on the mound right now, getting ready to make the first pitch here to the first man up for Cleveland, Al Smith, first-rounded left fielder. We have a wind very stiffly blowing in from behind left field here this afternoon as bright, brilliant sunlight bathes Coogan's Bluff. And we expect that the fly balls hit into right center field will be carried and lofted away by the wind that is coming in right now. Sal Magley is taking the last of his warm-up pitches, and we'll set the New York Giants for you defensively now. On the mound, Sal Magley, who has won 14 ball games, has lost 6 this year, has pitched 1 of the 17 shutouts that have been registered by Giant pitching. His battery mate is a very dependable Wes Westrum, although a light hitter, a very fine receiver. At first base is Whitey Lockman, the Carolina Comet. At second base, the kid from Dallas, Davey Williams. At short, the old Bayou Tiger. And at Elvendor, the captain of the ball club. At third base is Hank Thompson, a fine little left fielder. A fine little third baseman and also a fielder. And now, the ball will be tossed out by Jimmy Barberi. And it is being tossed out, and Wes Westrum catches it, goes over, shakes his hand, congratulates him on being a fine ball player also, and we are getting ready for the first pitch in the 1954 World Series, the 51st World Series to go to the board between the American and the National League. Out in left field, Monty Irvin, who made quite a splash by stealing home base in the 1951 World Series. In center field is Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, and in right field, the very dependable Don Mueller. As Sal Magley steps up on the rubber, looks down to this right-handed hitter, and takes the side from Wes Westrum. Al Bolick behind the plate leans down over the shoulder of Wes Westrum to get a look at the first pitch. As Al Smith, choking up on the handle of the bat, steps in about three-quarters deep at the plate. Magley over his head. Down comes the pitch of fastball, which is inside and tight off the letters for ball one. So the 1954 World Series, ladies and gentlemen, is on the fire. Wes Westrum down in the crouch again to pump the sign as Smith turns there and waits. He's batting a 281 on the regular season. Sal Magley in no hurry, and you can't blame him. Goes over his head, pumps, kicks, and throws a curve. Smith runs up, drops the bunt, takes the pitch low outside, and it's ball two. Two balls and no strikes. The call on the very first hitter up here for Cleveland, bidding to win their third straight World Series. They've won two, as Jimmy Dudley told you, they have lost none. While the Giants have appeared in 13, and they have won four World Series and have lost nine. Now, he delivers a high fastball into the chin. That's ball three. Three balls and no strikes. The count here on the Cleveland leadoff man, Al Smith, the left fielder. He'll be backed up by the American League batting champion, Bobby Avila. Time is called for the moment while Wes Westrum walks that ball partway back to the mound for Sal Magley. And the barber from Niagara Falls, New York, turns his back on Al Smith, looks to the scoreboard in center field, and then turns around and places the foot up on the rubber, leans forward to take his time. Wes Westrum again to pop the mid as the target. Now here's the motion. Up over his head goes Magley, delivers that crooked arm curve and hits Al Smith right in the middle of the back. So we have the first hit batsman. And Cleveland has their first runner in the 1954 World Series. So coming up to the plate now, batting at 341 on the regular season, Bobby Avila, the Petit Pride of Veracruz, Mexico. Bobby Avila, who has done just about everything for these amazing Cleveland Indians this year. Standing deep at the plate, about three quarters deep, crowds up on it somewhat, hits him right-handed, and holds that bat way down to the knob, despite the fact he's not a very big guy. He's a fine hit-and-run man, particularly when he's on the bases, they'll play hit-and-run. Al Smith leads off at first. Lockman on the inside corner. Magley delivers a curve, and Avila jumps back from a fast one, fired in at the waist. That's ball one on Bobby Avila. Sal Magley makes the motion. He doesn't want to throw that ball anymore, and a new one has gotten out of the pocket of plate umpire Al Bartlett. As Jimmy told you, the umpires here this afternoon, Al Bartlett of the National League working behind the plate. And we have, at first, Charlie Berry, Jocko Cronin of the National League at second, Johnny Stevens at third. Both Berry and Stevens of the American League. Warnke and Mapp are on the foul line. Ron Warnke down the left field line. He's with the National League. And the right field line, we have Larry Knapp. Down the bullpen, we have a left-hander warming up now for the New York Giants, Don Little. Just in case Sal Magley should be having a little trouble with his control. But there's one thing we can tell you. Magley usually starts shakily like this and settles down. The pitch to the plate now to Avila is the fastball over for a strike. One ball and one strike now. The count on Bobby Avila, hitting number two in the Cleveland order. He'll be followed by Larry Doby. Doby, who has posted quite a year with the Cleveland Indians. He's been their RBI leader, their home run leader. He's played a lot of fine defensive center field. But right now, we're centering our attentions on Bobby Avila at the plate. The pitch to him is a curveball, swung on by Avila, and dumped out into right center field. It's in there for the base hit. There goes Smith down to second base. He's going to hold on. No, he's not. He's going to keep on going as Mueller bottles the ball. Fires in quickly to third base. Well, we'll get the official ruling on that for you in a moment. It may be a hit and an error. We'll know in a moment as Ed McCauley, Barney Kumiko, and Harry Jones are discussing. It'll be a single to right center field for Bobby Avila, and an error will be charged to Don Mueller, the on-charging right fielder who tried to field that ball and get it in quickly. And the error, of course, allowing Al Smith to move around to third base. So there is the first error of the 1954 World Series, charged to right fielder Don Mueller. So we have runners at first and third now for the Cleveland Indians. Nobody out, top of the first inning, and Larry Doby, who on the regular season batted 272, is coming up. He's a left-hand hitter, crowds in on the plate, holds that bat way down to the knob, and bats from a crouch. Infield playing double play depth as the pitch is made to the plate. Doby takes the fastball outside and high, just about at shoulder level for ball one. Sal Magley in trouble, grabs that rosin bag, he slams it down on the ground, turns around, shakes his head. You can just sort of feel how Sal, at this particular time, might feel. Runners at first and third. His back is up against the wall, and he's in the World Series of 1954. And he knows the chips are down, and they're big, and they're blue. The outfield playing just about straight away for Doby, slightly shaded around the right, particularly Don Mueller playing a deep right center. Down comes the pitch, fastball. Doby after hits a high pop up off the third baseline. Hank Thompson over near the stands. Can he get it? I believe so. He's under it and does make the catch for the first out in the runner's hole. So Larry Doby fouls up and out. Now one out here in the top half of the first inning as Al Rosen comes up to the plate. Here's a guy who is always dangerous. Al Rosen's the kind of guy that will give you all the competition in the world. Al Rosen, batting at a flat 300 for the season, has driven in 102 Cleveland runs in the regular American League race and has hit 24 home runs. And he played a greater portion of the season with a bad hand and bad finger. Al Rosen, coming up to the plate right now, hitting in the number four position. Boy born in Spartanburg, South Carolina, now makes his home in Cleveland, Ohio. choked up someone on the handle of the bat stand deep with an overly closed stance. Al Smith leading down off third. Bobby Avila off first. Second is open. Double play depth on the giant infield. The pitch is made. Swing on. There's a high pop-up. This one coming down to Waddy Lockman at first base. He's under it, waiting for it. He's got it. So Rosen pops up and out to first base from Waddy Lockman. And now it's going to take more than that sacrifice fly to get the runner in from third base. The break is nothing-nothing tie. The Cleveland Indians started off right away by threatening. Al Smith was hit by the pitch. Then went down to second base on Bobby Avila's dunk single in the right center field. And the overcharge by right fielder Don Mueller. He tried to field that ball before he really had it. Tried to fire it over to third base to make sure that Al Smith didn't get there. But in his excitement and in his hurry, he dropped the ball, and an error was charged against him. So here's Vic Wirtz up at the plate now, batting at 256. He's been a powerhouse guy, hit for left-handed. Sal tries the fastball on him, and misses with a shoulder-high outside for ball one. Outfield fan around the right, playing deep, the right side of the infield deep, particularly Davey Williams in the hole between first and second. He's back on the rim of the outfield grass. Lockman holding the runner of Avila at first. The pitch is made. Wood swings. There's a long drive. Even the right field. Don Mueller has to hurry. He's gone back. He can't get it. It's up against the wall in the right center field. In comes Smith to score. Bobby Avila's right behind him. There goes Vic Wirtz. He's going to try for three. The relay by Williams is not in time. As the slide by Victor Wirtz gets him in the third with a triple. Victor Wirtz, the triple off the right center field wall, deep back by the giant bullpen. And there is the second hit to be given up by Sal Magley here, and runs one and two. And the Cleveland Indians are leading here in the top half of the first inning by the score of 2-0. Dave Philly coming up now. He's a switch hitter. Dave Philly batting number 6 in the Cleveland order. From Garrett's Bluff, Texas, now lives in Paris, Texas. Here's a guy that's meant an awful lot to the Cleveland Indians this year by his play out in right field. Maggie throws him the curveball, and it's high outside for ball one. Victor Wirtz, who was dealt over to the Cleveland Indians after the start of the season. He came to the Baltimore Orioles, who seemed to rejuvenate Vic Wirtz and give him new life. A New York, Pennsylvania boy has just paid off here in the World Series with a triple to score 2 runs for Cleveland. Maggie delivers a curveball to the plate. Philly slides in, doesn't offer, takes it high, and that's ball two. Two to nothing, favorite Cleveland here in the top half of the first inning. Two down, one on. Sal Magley in trouble. Delivers a big curveball. Wolf swings on. There's a high fly ball to deep right field. Going over to his right, getting under now. Sal Mueller back to the cinder track. He makes the catch for the third and final out here in the first half of inning number one. So for the Cleveland Indians, they cash in with a pair of runs here in the top half of the first inning. Two runs on two base hits. There was one error charged to the Giants, and there was one Cleveland runner left on. So the score at the end of the top half of the first inning is Cleveland 2 and the New York Giants nothing. Well, here it is, fans, the 1954 World Series. And to help you get the most out of every critical play in these history-making games, Gillette offers the World Series record book. This handy new 112-page book gives you the scores of every past World Series game, the record of every player, diagrams of all big league parts, basic rules, scoring instructions, a dictionary of baseball slang, and a wealth of other important baseball facts. So for baseball savvy, and to get more fun out of these series games, have a copy of Gillette's World Series book. Here's all you do. Just treat yourself to an easy-shaving Gillette Super Speed Razor set, including Blue Blade dispenser and travel case, at the regular price, $1. The record book is attached, and it's free. Right back at the business at hand here at the Polo Grounds in New York City as we move into the last half of the first inning of the first game of the 1954 World Series. The leadoff man for the New York Giants will be Waddy Lockman, their spectacular first baseman. He'll be followed by Alvin Dark, a great competitor at shortstop and captain and field leader of the ball club. Then will come Don Mueller in right field. If anyone else is needed in the inning, the National League batting champion, Sehei Willie Mays, the center fielder, will be up there swinging lumber. Bob Lemon from Long Beach, California, who appeared in 36 games this year for the American League champion with an earned run average, as Jimmy Dudley told you, of 2.69, is coming out there to do the pitching now for Cleveland. His battery mate, the very dependable Jim Hegan behind the plate. At first base, Victor Wirtz, who has turned this ball game upside down so far with his triple that scored two runs for Cleveland in the top of the first. Bobby Avila will be at second. At shortstop, George Strickland. And at third base is Al Rosen. In the outfield, we have Smith in left, Roby in center, and we'll get the right field in a moment. As Buddy Austin comes up, there, bunts the first pitch past the mound. Bobby Avila comes in, picks up, shovels over to Victor Wirtz in time, and that's all for Whitey Lockman, who tries to bunt his way on in the top half, the last half of this inning. See down there in front of the dugout, Leo DeRocher's walking back and forth. He's talking to his boys. You know, he's played a lot of these World Series games, and would you like to know how he made out? Well, the facts are in the Gillette World Series record book. Leo himself says that Gillette book sure gives you baseball savvy, and it's free with the purchase of a one-piece Gillette razor at the regular price. Alvin Dart coming up there now. One out. Nobody on here in the last half of the first inning. Alvin Dart hitting right-handed. Batted 293 in the regular season. Bob Lemon, 23-game winner for the Indians, delivers a curveball that misses inside and tight for ball one. The right fielder this afternoon for the Cleveland Indians, and I don't believe we got to him defensively, is Dave Phillips. So it's set everyone for you now defensively, as Bob Lemon, chewing gum out there a mile a minute, delivers a fastball that's low and outside to a right-hand hitter. Alvin Dart counts quickly now is two balls and no strikes. One out, last half of the first. The Giants behind as Cleveland scored twice in their top half of the first inning to lead 2-0. So as the boys were trading, you'd say they lost no time in getting to it. Lemon ready, delivers 2-0. His fast curve snaps off low and outside, and Bob will throw you a lot of that sinker stuff. He throws you a pretty good slider, and his fastball will hop if it's working good. Freddie Fitzsimmons, coaching at first for the Giants, at third is Herman Pratt. There's the fastball, laid through but low. That's ball four, and Alvin Dock, a 293 hitter, has walked here in the last half of the first inning. So there's the first base on balls given up by Bob Lemon. He walked only 93 during the entire year. Ron Mueller finished very high in the National League batting race for the crown. He hit 342 behind his teammate, Willie Mays, who led the National League with 345. Ron Mueller hitting left-handed. He's not a long ball hitter, but does a lot of punching. He chokes up well on the handle, feet wide spread apart, stands deep at the plate. Infield on the left side up, expecting the bunt. The pitch is made to the plate. Low and inside, right down across the shin. That's ball one. The outfield playing Sander on the right and not too deep. Bobby Avila in the hole at second base is playing deep, but not back as far as the room of the outfield grass. Victor Wirtz, the Cleveland first baseman, holds Alvin Dart at first base. Alvin has a slight lead. Playing a shallow third is Rosen. He's up almost in the room of the infield grass, expecting that Don Mueller might be trying to drop one down the third base line, thereby get on. But Mueller right now represents a tying run at the plate for the New York Giants. 2-0 Cleveland. Lemon is ready. Delivers. There's the fastball. Swung on. Hit out into right field. It's going to be in there for a base hit. Bouncing up against the wall. Philly plays it. Mueller holds it first base. The throw comes in. Alvin Dart leads to third. Bob Lemon, who gave up 228 hits in the regular American League series, has given up his first World Series base blow, and it puts him in trouble as the Giants, with one down now, have the tying runs on. Runners at first and third. Back in the World Series of 1948, Bob Lemon had an earned run average of 1.65. Here is Willie Mays. Here's the guy that a lot of the people here this afternoon have come to see. Willie Mays batting at 345, the National League batting champion, a right-hand hitter, feet wide spread apart. Lemon tries to curve, and Mays is after it and pops it up out into very short center field, going back toward the shortstop Strickland. He's under it and makes the catch behind center, behind second and center, and the runners hold on. So Mays pops out on his first attempt here this afternoon to the shortstop, George Strickland. Hank Thompson has been a surprise for the New York Giants, playing defensively at third base. He used to be a switch hitter, now exclusively a left-hand batter. Hank Thompson batting a 263 on the regular season. He's hampered somewhat this year by injuries, but was able to be in the lineup when Leo DeRocher needed him most. A short battery conference between Jim Hegan and pitcher Bob Lemon has broken up now, and Jim Hegan comes stomping back behind the plate. We're in the last half of the first inning of the 1954 World Series. The Cleveland Indians are leading 2-0 over the New York Giants, with the Giants having the tying runs on. At third, Alvin Dock, and at first is Don Mueller. Second is open. Al Rosen playing a shallow third base just off the line and just off the third base bag, holding Alvin Dawson's closest touch. Lemon delivers to this left-hand hitter. Thompson takes high, and that's ball one. The outfield is fanned around the right and playing deep because Thompson will hit that long ball for you, particularly here at the Polo Grounds. He has hit 26 home runs in the course of the regular season. Lemon leaning forward, takes his time, goes to the top of the step, comes down, hesitates, deals off the curve. He's low and under the knees on the inside for ball two. Two balls, two strikes. Last half of inning number one. A goodly crowd has come out here to see this one. All the experts have said this points to be one of the great World Series of our time. And, well, we can believe it. When you look down the records of the two ball clubs, they seem to be pretty evenly matched. And they're certainly no strangers to each other, as they have played plenty of exhibition games in spring training coming over for the regular season prior to its start. Lemon ready now, delivers to Thompson. He takes a hit in his swing, holds back, and takes the pitch out prior to ball three. Lemon will throw a left-hand batter, a lot of that sliding stuff, and a lot of that pink ball. It's out of 3-0 on Thompson. Runners at first and third. Second is open. There are two down. He scores Cleveland 2 and the Giants nothing at this particular point. A fastball to Thompson is scored through one of the letters for the first called strike. 3-1. It's out on third baseman Henry Thompson. Thompson levels that bat off as he stands deep in the plate, 6 feet wide, spread apart. Coming ready, where's that delivered fastball? Come on, a missed first strike. So Thompson was after that one. That runs his count to 3-2. Here's a boy who first saw the light of day in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Now makes his home in New York City. First came up with for an opportunity in the majors with the St. Louis Browns, who were then in the American League. Now what's that? In comes the pitch. Thompson swings on to the slow roller. Back to first base. Up of his victory work. Steps on first and the inning is over. So that's all here in the last half of the first inning for the Giants. They threatened to get no farther than that. No runs. There was one base hit. Two men on and there were no Cleveland errors. Well, the grand end of the first inning still remains as we have told you, Cleveland leading by the two runs. And Al Rosen, playing down there at third base, certainly has been a bulwark on this ball club for the Cleveland Indians. His fighting spirit has meant an awful lot. And Al Rosen wound up the season, as I told you a moment ago, with an even 300 batting average despite the injuries he too had. He's a mighty solid ball player, everybody. One of the best looking guys you see anywhere and one of the nice. You can take it for real when he says, from time to time I've tried a lot of razors. So I'm talking from experience when I say the one piece you left is the only razor that comes through on the two most important counts. The shaves look good and they feel good. Now that's from Al Rosen. Now don't you think you're the one piece you left, razor? It's the second inning here at the Polo Grounds in New York City. The Cleveland Indians leading 2-0. And coming up now is the petty pride of New Orleans, Louisiana, George Strickland, a very fine fielding shortstop. A little light with the wood, he's batting a 213 on the regular season, but George was out for about 6 weeks with a broken jaw. Of course, that could have raised his batting average had he played during that time, or it could have lowered it. It all depends on the face of baseball. The George Strickland, tall swing, the right-hand hitter, has certainly patched up that infield for Cleveland this year. Tom Magley makes the first pitch to him and fires the fastball outside and high for ball one. George Strickland has given him 37 runs over the period of the regular season and hit 6 home runs and rather curtailed season for himself in having been out with that broken jaw. A curveball to Strickland is taken and it's over to me for called strike. One ball and one strike. Cleveland, having scored 2 runs in the top half of the first inning, are leading in the ball game by that margin. 2-0 over the Giants. Magley delivers again. There's a crooked arm curveball. Strickland trying to bunt it, fouls it back to the screen. So his count moves to 1-2. It's the last third of the Cleveland batting order here in the top half of the second inning. Strickland to be followed by Hegan and then by that good hitting pitcher, Bob Lemon. Lopez is paid. Facing back and forth from the steps of the dugout. Oldie boy, silly boy, just like a kid's line down there. Tom Ackley, settling down his task now to pitch the system, fires away one and two to curveball. Swing and a miss for strike three. So there's the first strikeout. Of the 1954 World Series, it's kept up by Sal Markley. Back in the 1948 World Series, Jim Higgins hit 211. Now, you can find that record of Jim Higgins in the Gillette World Series record book. Well, that's a handy book to have around. You'll get a lot of kick out of it, I know. And Jim Higgins on the regular season this year hit 234, so he's standing in right now. Sal Markley, ready to go. He's gotten one man here in the top half on the second inning, struck him out. Delivers a curve to Higgins, the throw on outside. One ball, no strike. Of course, as far as strikeouts are concerned, by the various pitches in World Series play, you too can find that in the Gillette World Series record book. Got a lot of facts and figures and information. Magley's fastball is swung on, but Higgins popped up right back off the mound, coming in fast forward to third base from Thompson, under it, looks up into the sun, and then makes the catch. Well, that's all for Higgins. We have two outs now in the top of the second inning. Bob Lemon coming up to the plate. Bob Lemon moving in. Bob hits him left-handed. Despite the fact he's a right-hand pitcher, he's been used on many occasions at Cleveland as a pitch batter. Magley tries his curve on him and misses with it high and outside for ball one. Red Crest down behind first base, coaching there for the Cleveland Indians, hooping and hauling. Wants Bob to get on. Down comes the pitch to him. There's that curveball by Magley Lowe. Ball two. Hank Thompson playing shallow at third. Right side of the infield playing very deep as David Williams is wanted back on the grass in right field. Now he comes up to play on the rim of the outfield grass. Lockman playing back just about as deep. Pulled close to the line. Pitch to Lemon, a slow curve, a tantalizing curve over for a false step. Two balls, one strike on Bob Lemon, the wear of number 21, standing at the plate right now. Sal Magley, right foot forward, leads forward from the mound, takes his time from Weston. Pump, pitch and throw. Another curveball, this one swung on by Lemon and beaten down into the ground foul. Two balls, two strikes on Bob Lemon. Two down, nobody on, top of the second inning. The Cleveland Indians out in front, 2-0. They should tune in near the plate. They scored their two runs in the top half of the first inning. One after Smith was hit by a pitch ball, and the dealer singled him around to second. A bobble in the outfield allowed the Smith to keep on going and move to third. Dick Worth tripled in the right center to drive in the pair. Now the pitch to the plate to Lemon's a fastball that misses outside for ball three. Three balls and two strikes to count on Bob Lemon. Bob turns around, says something to Weston. They're both game. Al Barlick, the National League of the National League, is the plate umpire here in this one. He's leaning down over the shoulder of Weston to take a look at the next pitch. In it comes, high and outside for ball four. So there's the first base on balls given up by Magley. He walked 70 over the course of the regular season. Bob Lemon, the guy who wanted to get a loss by the walk. And now the leadoffer, Smith, comes up to the plate. It is he was coached in the middle of the back by a pitched ball in the first inning. Sort of set Magley off to a wobbly start. But old number 35 down there usually warms his pass, and he's been doing it so far. Kicking here in the second inning, struck out. Higgins popped out to the third baseman, Hank Thompson. Lemon is now on the first base, having been walked. And here is Smith, the pitch hitter, coming in. This guy's really killed that ball from the outfield, too, this year, Smith. Magley tries his curve and misses with it low and just outside. One ball, no strike. Back of the second inning. First game of the 1954 World Series from the Polo Grounds in New York City. We'll be back right here again tomorrow for the playing of the second inning. Magley, Clifton, for the sign. Looks over at first base, watches Lemon take his lead. Now he's ready. Delivers a play to curve and just takes a nice one through there at the race for strike. One ball, one strike. Williams has pulled a couple of steps over close to the second. He's playing rather deep behind second. The outfield playing just about straight away to Smith. He can hit the long ball for you. He's pounded 11 home runs over the season. Magley settles down, delivers to him. An overhand curve that misses just outside and low. Two balls, one strike. six umpires, six men in blue, watching the progress of this ball game. Every one of them a fine umpire. We've seen him work many times over the course of the year. Magliaretti fires the pitch to the pitch. Hang on. There's a bounding ball. Hit foul up the third baseline. Gets right over near the crowd, right past the third base coach, Tony Cicinello. He's a fine ball player in his day, too, that Cicinello. A fine guy, too. He and this Fred Kress, the two fellows are really hustling. Fred Kress is the Cleveland coach at first base. This is no strange ballpark to Red Crest. He was here with the Giants, I remember, in 1945, as a coach. Now they 2-2 delivery by Magley. Down comes that pitch. Fast ball swung on and hit foul right back to the screen. That's going up on top of the press taxi. And it's loaded here this afternoon. They've got more people covering this ball game this afternoon, and you can take a stick up. Also, we're very happy to know that the ball game is going around the world, all over the world. Almost every available radio station is hooked in this afternoon to the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports broadcast. Now Magley's ready. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Another hand curve is going outside. Missed for ball three. One of the big factors in carrying this ball game around the world, of course, has been the Armed Forces radio station. And they're hooked on with us again today. Here there's going to be some activity down in the Giant bullpen. Looks as though Don Little is going to get up again. He's got slow. Don Little, the left-hander. Now the 3-2 pitch to the plate. In it rides. Pulling the miss to strike three. Ball got him on a low curveball. Just about the lead. Well, that's second strikeout here. As far as Maggie's concerned, and here in the second inning, no runs. There were no base hits for Cleveland. Lemon has walked. He's left at first. There were no errors. So, no runs, no hits, no errors. One man left on. And at the end of one and a half innings of play, the score is Cleveland 2, the New York Giants, nothing.
Look far, he's got I've got a name, and I'm worth. So I reach for my Gillette. Enjoy it, this refreshing day. For a big night, I'm all set. Mr. Dark, this is better than the best. Mr. Dark, all the good is gone, great. From the Mr. Dark, and he's ready to go down in the coffee breaking Gillette.